This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 145 and 146.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello, and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture one last minute at a time. I'm Ron Richards, and with me is Connor Kilpatrick.
Aw.
And Josh Flanagan.
You know what? Credit. Credit where due.
Yep. This minute starts with Parlami di amore, Mario, and it ends with black. With nothingness. None more black.
Aw. It's technically like a minute 20 seconds.
Yes, it's a minute. We're doing so. The movie ends 20 seconds in to the 146th minute. So we're doing a twofer here. So we end on a Friday. It's all clean.
And that's just a copyright notice. So we're going to come back on Monday and be like, well, it's a Time Warner company.
And listen, we have now done 145 of these goddamn things.
And they keep getting longer.
They really do.
How is that possible?
We've literally been doing this for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 months.
I'm going to talk about all this. I'm going to talk about all these minutes.
What's interesting is that coming into this week, just a little behind the scenes, we were quite worried of nothing to talk about.
I know.
I don't know that I was.
I was.
The producers were.
Yes. We overshot it.
Oh, man.
You don't do that to me now on the show.
So do we have any notes on these credits?
I note that they had to credit the Happy Birthday song in this.
They always do, yeah.
Yeah, no. a lot of movies will skip using Happy Birthday. They'll do a different thing.
Well, not anymore. They just announced that it's open.
But this is 1990.
Right.
And so up until recently, they'd get around it. But this movie is not a movie to skimp on music licensing is my point.
Yep. No,
I like
Marty.
That.
I just remembered that when they're singing Happy Birthday, it's to Jimmy and Mickey's kid, and as he walks to his birthday cake, Tommy kicks him.
That's right. That's right.
And that brought you back?
That brought me back.
Yeah. One credit I noticed in this minute was the New York City Police Department's film unit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I looked up the New York City Police Department film unit. Founded in 1966, the NYPD movie and TV unit was the first of its kind in the country. It has a unique relationship with the NYPD. And has the best knowledge in how to, you know, assist productions, especially with complex situations. You're shooting in a city with traffic, with people and everything. Their services are free to productions filming in the city.
Oh, wow.
So They're not being paid. Well, there's no.
Are they free or are they taxpayer? They're taxpayer funded.
Yes, they are. Well, meaning they
they're
don't
not
charge
volunteers,
the
or they don't charge the film though.
No. But they don't charge the films, which is really interesting.
New York's very film friendly.
They control traffic on bridges, highways. Of course, we all know what the most filmed bridge in New York is. Every single shot. The
Williamsburg Bridge.
Queensboro. Whenever there is a shot of a car driving across a bridge, it is always the Queensboro Bridge.
The best view into the city.
Yeah. Well, that, and I feel like it's the one that screws up traffic the least.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Like, they're like, have you thought about shooting on the 59th Street Bridge? Well, I wasn't really, it's not really a picturesque bridge. Yeah, we're going to put it on the 59th Street Bridge. Of course, they have a close relationship with Law & Order and Third Watch and those kind of shows.
Have they done the full Law & Order?
Yeah. I mean, they'll have worked with them on all of them.
Yes.
So yes, it just says Law and Order, but they also deal with child work permits, stunts, prop firearms, placement of equipment, pedestrian safety, and parking. And if you live in New York City, or have, I assume you have felt their presence. When I lived in Astoria, it was at least a couple times a week they would put up signs, or not a couple times a week, but every couple of weeks they'd put up signs, and we're filming here, don't park here, and you just couldn't park in that area. At the right before I moved, they were shooting. What was the show that was the British show that had Michael Imperioli in it? Like, was it
Life on Mars.
Yeah, that was shot in my neighborhood all the time.
That show, I wish that show didn't end as quickly as it did. I liked that show.
Yeah, they shot that a lot in Astoria Park.
That guy from Life on Mars, Connor, was on that one season of The Good Wife. Do you remember that?
Yes, tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another interesting one.
The Good Wife also filmed in New York.
Yes.
Until 1994... which was when Rudy Giuliani was elected, the unit occasionally assisted with pornographic productions.
Oh.
Also. for free.
Did he stop that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Wow.
Giuliani put a stop to that. In 1997, porn producer Michael Lucas filed a lawsuit against the police department and Giuliani, citing discriminating practices, but it was dropped in September when a district judge granted a motion to dismiss on behalf of the NYPD. So that is a little bit of information that I never knew about the New York City Police Department film unit.
There you go.
Fascinating. In terms of the credits, also, the music is great listings. I noticed that there's no disclaimer at the end about depictions of people because this is all based on real stuff.
Interesting.
But there was no disclaimer about, names are changed or anything like that. There's just nothing in there. But then what's interesting is that, we go through, we get all the copyright information and we get the protected from laws. We see it's distributed. And then we get a fade to black. And then we get 8 seconds of black. And then it comes back to the cloud background,
like
Warner Brothers logo, and then it fades and then fades to black again. So you get 8 seconds of black, and then you get reminded that it's Warner Brothers, and then it goes back to black. So.
I have one final music note.
Okay.
As you know, the music that we've been listening to here is the coda from Layla, the piano bit with Jim Gordon, and the slide guitar by Dwayne Allman, who died at 22. A hell of a lot for a person who died at 22.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is a person who, in a very short amount of time, made a huge contribution to music. He's credited with inventing Southern rock.
Didn't we talk about this already?
No, a little bit, but I just want to go ahead. Now, the last thing that you hear is a noise that he makes with his guitar. It's referred to as the chirping bird. You may remember this. It's the very end of that Layla song. It's referenced in other things. You can kind of they refer to it in Freebird, which is about him. And what would happen is that Dwayne would take he was a slide guitarist, and he would take the slide off, and he would rub it on the strings using the rim of the slide, so it's like a little cylinder, and he'd rub it over the bridge pickup, which creates a brighter tone, and that would make that little bird sound, and that's how he made that sound, which is the last thing we hear in Goodfellas.
All right.
Good note.
Excellent.
Do what I can.
Good work.
All right. Wow. So we did it, guys.
Well, we got some more stuff.
I know. And Goodfellas Minute.
So, a couple more emails to do. Stephen K. has a little story for us. Stephen K. says, my wife asked me to the movies. The movie of her choice was Goodfellas. I thought, weird choice for Wendy, but I went in to see it. We got our popcorn, an oversized drink, and walked into an empty theater. The movie had been out for a while, and it was the magic 5 o'clock show where it was half price. She made it into when Joe Pesci shoots the waiter. She stood up and screams, what the fuck? I got her to sit down for another minute, then she left. Okay, I had to leave too. Wendy thought, with a name like Goodfellas, that they would be Goodfellas and the movie would be lighthearted comedy. There has been this fight or argument. No, let's call it a lighthearted discussion since that day. One, did I have to throw out my popcorn? I mean, I bought it. And two, did this count as her movie pick? So the next one was mine.
Why would you throw the popcorn? Before we answer his questions, I got a couple observations.
Yeah.
What was her name? Wendy?
Wendy.
All right, so I like Wendy for two reasons. Mm-hmm. I like Wendy because she reacts very animatedly by standing up and yelling, "What the fuck," in the theater.
Right.
I feel like they're a tri-state area, right, greater maybe. New York couple. And
it's not like it's Ohio, yeah.
I don't know, they might be in the Midwest, because if she thought that the title of Goodfellas meant that it was lighthearted, that they're
wouldn't not, have said, like, "What the fuck," which is ironic.
Exactly.
That is irony. It's delicious, delicious irony.
Yep.
I think Why would you get rid of your popcorn? I don't get it.
No, I'd say you don't want to take popcorn out of the theater. That's gross.
Look, if you have a whole thing of it.
It becomes less appealing once you leave the theater.
And number two.
No, you take it home. Well, my kids love popcorn, so I take it home, put it in a thing, they eat it. If you put that in a sealed thing, it's pretty good the next day.
That's not good for them, I don't think. Let me tell you how to parent, Josh.
Love popcorn. It's the only way I can get my kid to go to the movies. It's going to be popcorn.
Okay. Number two, she picked the movie. She blew her pick. She didn't like the movie.
Just because you don't like it doesn't mean you get to repick. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. No redo.
No takebacks.
Although, you know, I'm married, so I get it.
You get that the laws of takebacks change when you get married?
I'm saying you got to pick your battles. If you want to die on that one, you can, but...
Yeah. That's better advice. You got to pick your battles, but yeah.
Rather than trying to change the rules. All right. George writes and says, "For the love of God, you guys, me and my team listen to Goodfellas Minute in the galley of a riverboat and are infuriated daily with how off you nerds are, like all the time. No offense. Not even going to start with chewing your ear debate or not knowing Tommy was talking about getting punched, pow, kicked, bing, by a cop during the bank job in Sea Caucus. Just going to help you out with the swag confusion. Swag is different from swag because swag is low-grade medium marijuana, swag. Just whereas swag is actually an acronym standing for stuff we all get. Hence, getting swag bags at promotional gigs and shit like that. And like most slang, it's hard to nail down if that's a regional thing or across the boards, but it's what I've always heard since I was a little fella."
All right, observation number one. Where the fuck's in a riverboat? What year is it?
Hey, who's listening to your riverboat show, riverboat man?
They're hard of hearing from working in the riverboat because, number one... We spent a whole long time discussing the difference between swag and swag. We didn't say swag was swag.
Yeah.
Number two, only Josh had a problem understanding Tommy's story. The rest of us were confused by why he was confused.
Yes, correct. I picture the large, it's on the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And there's a band playing and there's gambling. And is it that kind of riverboat?
Mark Twain's been brought in to do a reading.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
River's running.
Yeah. The mighty Mississippi.
Somebody's shooting off a revolver.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to cross somebody on a riverboat because, you know, you're stuck on the boat.
International law.
Sean G writes and says, "I'd like to hear about the research and preparation you did for the podcast. You mentioned the Pelleggi book pretty much every episode, but are there other sources you found useful? Have you still not listened to any of the home video commentaries?" Home video?
That's still correct.
"Any interesting stories about getting guests for the podcast? Did you have guests in mind when you started? Which guests approached you after hearing the podcast? And did you ever try to contact Johnny Roast Beef?"
Well, a lot of material here. Good question. Good question, good question, Thomas. Thank you for the question.
Sean.
Right. Okay, Brad. Thank you for the question.
Ilona Herman.
Interesting fun fact about this whole podcast is that all of the research and all the stuff that we cited, we made it all up.
Fake. All lies.
All of it lies. This has been one long con.
One long improv session.
Pretty good, though, right?
Really authentic. Listen, I'm from Peoria. I'm not from Long Island. I'm from Illinois.
This is a fake accent.
I've been in Carl Place, Long Island this whole time. I wasn't even talking to my real accent. You believed everything. You bought all of it.
So no, but realistically, I feel like we all did our own research or all did our own work. I know personally, I mean, I know at least Connor and I referred to Wise Guy a lot just because it's the source material.
Right.
We all had like our thing.
Yeah, we all had our things, but I did a lot of internet research that involved, unfortunately, Wikipedia, but also I would try to go to like actual sources when you could find them online, whether they're newspaper articles or things like that, that actually cited what was going on.
Yeah, and
at the
time. I tried to always find at least two sources. So if something was claimed, I tried to find it listed somewhere else. So it wasn't just Wikipedia says this.
Or like you wouldn't be surprised. There's so many like the number one home of the mafia on the internet. And it's like all these like copy and paste mafia Wikipedia sites that are just like and that have some egregiously wrong information. But
Yeah, so we did a lot of research. So he also wanted to know, have we still not listened to the home video commentaries? I threw my VCR out, so I don't.
Yeah, I have not.
No, but they're on the DVD.
I have not. I don't. I can't. Oh, I don't.
Video. Talk. Video is just means it's electronic picture.
I don't have
a
time.
DVD to or Blu-ray is that? No, I don't either. I feel like
I reached a point in my life where I did the math. Remember this? I did the math to figure out how much hours of content I had on my DVDs not related to the movies, and it was more time than I had left in my life, and then I just gave up.
Yeah. I feel like I did that without doing the math.
Yeah. I didn't actually do the math.
Ron went for the existential crisis method.
Yeah, exactly.
I really appreciated that.
Yeah. But have not listened to the commentaries. Guests were more challenging than than I thought it would be. I thought it would be easier to get guests.
Hold on. First of all, we had a number of people in mind already that we wanted to have on the show, which we did. We tend to want to have people on the show that we know will be good, meaning either people we've worked with before in other capacities or people who have their own podcast, so we know that they can talk and be entertaining while they're doing it, or people who are really interested in the subject matter. So we already had a pretty extensive list. And before we started, I mean, by the time we were a couple weeks in, we had most of the show booked out. Or at least targeted out. There weren't a lot of open slots at the end.
Yep.
Some people we just cold emailed. A couple of people like we'd never met before, like Greg Young and Matt Gorley, we didn't know before the show. We just cold emailed them.
Yeah. We got introduced to Matt because we had a mutual friend.
Right.
But Greg and the Bowery Boys, that was just a cold. I was like, hey, I'm a fan and we think you'd be good for this.
Hey.
And I had no idea that he was into film as he is. And so like that, you know, it was good. And I had talked to them like on Twitter before, but never like in a direct kind of, you know, kind of thing.
It was more of a stalker situation.
Yeah, more of an awkward kind of, you know, really intense fan. Do we talk about our great guest failure?
Yeah, sure.
Probably the single thing that we tried the hardest to do was to line up a woman for a guest, because we felt as if not only has this movie been disparaged as being a guy's movie, we really wanted a female perspective, you know, especially with there's a lot going on in this movie when it comes to gender and stuff like that. And the list of women I emailed and invited onto the show who then politely declined is long.
Not really into that movie.
Yeah. That's basically what it was. Yeah.
It started to reinforce that stuff from that article that we hated, which was interesting. But we did actually had a woman who was really great that was a big fan of the movie that we wanted to have on the show, and to the point where she was booked. And was it the day before? It was really close. She ended up not being able to do it because her professional life tends to coincide at the time we record this. She was an entertainer. So she had to pull out last minute and we couldn't have her on. So
we tried. We tried hard.
There are a couple of guest failures. We kind of talked like, wouldn't it be cool if we could get so-and-so? But I don't think any of us really wanted to have
somebody involved in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. There was one blind email went to one actor that was not responded to.
Two.
Yeah.
So one person we tried to get on, I tried to get Colin Quinn.
Right.
Because if you read Colin Quinn's Twitter feed, he is constantly referring to Goodfellas. I mean, constantly. I thought, well, that would be a fun get. But his management said no. I don't think they have.
Are you counting that as the two actors? Because I was talking about actors actually in the movie.
Yeah, no, I know. That was one. Not an actor in the movie. That was sort of like one of the bigger people I just tried to get out to. And then there's, of course, the other one.
After hearing him on another podcast talk lovingly about the movie, I said, hey, can't hurt to email Kevin Corrigan, who played Henry's brother Mikey in the wheelchair. And my email was not responded to. So, Kevin Corrigan, if you're listening, please email us at contact@goodfellowsminute.com. We'll record a special bonus episode with you if you want to talk about the movie. We'd love to because we're big fans. But yeah,
and it, like his thing was he wasn't in it that much, and he was just a kid. Like, but over time on this other podcast, and you should listen to it, by the way. You should listen to Kevin Corrigan on the WTF show with Mark Maron. He talks about just being a fan of the movie.
Yeah,
and so like you have that mixed with his experience on the set. And we thought he'd be really good for it because he's removed enough that he could talk about the movie as opposed to like, oh, he was great here. He was great, because that's not fun to listen to.
I will say also as a fan and that sort of thing, I did have an opportunity to make a connection to a very large name associated with this entire movie and story and stuff like that, and chose not to pursue it out of intimidation.
Was it Ballhouse?
It was Ballhouse. No. No.
Florian Ballhouse.
Florian Ballhouse. A friend of mine has a familial connection to Nicholas Pileggi. And I'm like, I can't do that.
I agree.
It wouldn't have. Yeah. I mean,
and I love this reference. Do you guys remember in college they did that MTV special where they had all those comedians making fun of old videos.
Yes,
and it was Jon Stewart and Dennis Leary.
And Jeanine Garofalo.
Jeanine Garofalo and Chris Kattan for a while. But
it was 1 2-hour special that they broke up into half hour episodes, and that's when Vanilla Ice freaked out on
it. Well, that was the thing. It was they had Vanilla Ice come on when they were making fun of Ice Ice Baby, and then 30 seconds into it, Jon Stewart said, "Hey guys, this is a lot harder when they're sitting here." And that was what I was worried about, is if we got anybody involved with the movie, it would adversely affect what I think makes the show fun.
Yep.
You know what?
Agreed.
That's a very
think of. By the way, hang on, Connor. I would like to pat you on the back for not only that reference, but also the, like, that was great. Good job.
The specificity of it.
The specificity, and then the application to what we're doing. It's spot on. So good job, Connor.
Still producing, Ron.
I always think of film commentaries. Ironically, there's a comment. This is what I always think of. There's a commentary on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and in it, Beverly D'Angelo spends the entire time talking about what her hair looks like in any given scene. And I just think that's not going to be a good guest.
Her hair's on point in the movie.
Well,
she's not happy.
Wait a minute. Did we want Beverly D'Angelo as a guest on the show?
No one said we wanted Beverly D'Angelo.
Not again.
I could have booked Beverly D'Angelo. I just didn't know that you wanted her.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't have made any sense. I mean, first of all.
My hair is terrible in this scene.
Also, I had a moment where we could have gotten Martin Scorsese, but I also did not respond to that email.
Right. I missed the one from De Niro.
Yeah.
I get a lot of emails.
Well, we specifically turned Ray Liotta down.
Right.
I mean, he wanted to do the show.
He called me at 9 a.m. Come on.
Paul Sorvino's writer was onerous. I mean.
Oh, God. But that said, given the opportunity to have Frank Civero on, I would have jumped at it.
Yep.
Yeah, right?
But we would have had to wait for him to come to us because we weren't going to. Frank, you wanted to be on the show?
So those are some of the emails we got from you, everyone who listened this year. Tons of them that came in. Maybe we'll try to respond to some of them after the fact. But thank you, everyone who wrote. Contact at goodfellowsminute.com.
So many of you wrote in. And like I said, we read everyone and hear the responses and hear the observations and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I know it became a little ongoing joke that my dad was the only one writing in. But, no, a lot of you wrote in. And that feedback is always great. So thank everybody.
It was interesting.
That.
A lot of people wrote in their observations or their commentary along to their listening, which was fun.
Yeah.
It was good.
And I look forward to, now that we're done, people discovering this after the fact, and they'll probably email us. Yeah, exactly.
Are you guys going to talk about Shane? All right, so let's do the final guest question. So as we just mentioned, we had a bunch of guests in the show. They were all really fantastic. I think we really lucked out with our guests on this show.
Yep. I loved every one of them for different reasons.
So the final question posed to the guests was, what will the legacy be 25 years from now of Goodfellas in one sentence?
Oh, wow.
And some of the, obviously there's no way to tally this. Some of the sentences were, razor your garlic so it liquefies in the pan. That will be the legacy of Goodfellas.
Fair enough.
It could be worse.
One was, no clue. Something about the mafia being cool and horrifying at the same time. It's late. Go home. I think that's talking to us directly.
Which is true, which is...
One was, it's the movie people will realize they've been quoting their whole life when they finally see it for the first time in college. And Gabe Hardman, his observation was, Goodfellas was a great fucking movie in 1990, and it will still be a great fucking movie in 2041.
Correct.
What do you guys think the one-line legacy of Goodfellas will be 25 years from now, as we talk about it on its 25th anniversary?
That's a good question.
I mean, I'm a little bit with Gabe, and it's a wonderful, timeless piece of cinema that I don't think is ever going to feel old.
I'm so hungry that I heard you say pizza, and I was going to agree with you.
Also, I would say one line would be 3 decades of life in the mafia.
That's the
line. Which is the line.
That's a
plot synopsis.
It's literally on the poster. I don't know.
Hold on. I'm gonna go grab the I'm gonna grab the Blu-ray and the DVD and read what it says on the back, and that will tell us exactly.
I think the legacy of this movie will be that apparently in the early 20th century aprons were very important. Historians will look back on it and be like, why were they so concerned about the aprons?
I'm going to look back in 25 years from now, and when we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Goodfellas, and be like, oh, that's the goddamn movie I wasted 8 months of my life on.
There's a real question. Should we do this again in 25 years?
How different would this be?
Well, that's the question.
On my version of this Blu-ray, thing on it, this is the, what year? 2006 version of the Blu-ray, so 10 years old. The first line, the best mob movie ever, Roger Ebert, Chicago Sun-Times.
That's not wrong.
From Nicholas Pileggi's true life bestseller, Wise Guy, Goodfellas explores the criminal life like no other movie. Directed and co-written by Martin Scorsese, it was judged 1990's Best Picture by the New York, Los Angeles, and National Society of Film Critics and named the American Film Institute's Top 100 Films list. Electrifying performances abound from a standout cast that includes Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Lorraine Bracco, and Paul Sorvino of Joe Pesci. And Paul Sorvino, Joe Pesci walked off with the Best Supporting Actor Academy Award. It, quote, bristles with passion, wit, and style, and endures as an American classic, Peter Travers of Rolling Stone.
All right. Going off of what I said, which is the line on the poster, reminded me that one of my favorite sections of IMDb is the taglines for any movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Goodfellas has 5 taglines listed on IMDb, and I want to share them with you because I think they're special. The first one is obviously the quote is, as far back I can remember, I've always wanted to be a gangster, right? Whatever. The second one is the one that I said, 3 decades of life in the mafia. Now, this is where it gets weird. Murderers come with smiles.
Is that like a translation?
It must be. Our tagline, like
the Polish one?
Tagline. Yes, it's the Philippines version.
Tagline number 4. Shooting people was, quote, no big deal. And the final tagline, in a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power, a new generation carries on an old tradition.
That is a bad tagline.
That seems like the tagline from that terrible re-release with the terrible picture on the cover.
Yeah.
I was really just disappointed in the back of the DVD because usually those are funny.
Yeah, that wasn't funny.
Usually it's a bad synopsis, and I was like, no, that's pretty much spot on. That's not bad.
That's what I would like. In 25 years from now, I want the 50th anniversary holo version that's going to come out, the fucking brain injection version.
VR.
The VR version. The VR version. I want it to restore the goddamn poster to the cover and get rid of the awful Blu-ray cover that's out right now and go back to the original Liotta, De Niro, Pesci, 3, our logo, our thing. That's what it should be. It should not be the awfulness of the Blu-ray cover that
exists
right
now. And that's the new one.
Yeah.
The older one that I had, the 2006 one, has the poster, but then under the Goodfellas logo, we are under the
oh, that's the original poster. That's the original poster.
With the guy dead on the ground?
A guy dead on the ground under an overpass, yeah.
That's just under the 31st Street Bridge, or the 31st Street Bridge.
Yeah.
In Astoria.
That's an overpass.
That's weird, though, because that guy looks...
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
That's train. It's under the elevated train. But it looks like it's from a different time, like not the time of this movie at all. And is that Frank Vincent? Like, I feel like it...
I think it's
not.
But it's definitely not. Also on the IMDb page, they have under photos, they bubble up 3 photos, and one of them is the new Blu-ray cover, and the other one is a shot of Paulie and Henry when Henry comes to Paulie's house, and then there's a red carpet photo of Mike Starr.
Good call. He's the commandant.
Who played Frenchie.
He's the Midnight Day Man.
If we could have gotten Mike Starr on the show, I would have booked that one.
Well, it's audio, so we wouldn't be looking at him.
He's the Midnight Day Man.
All right, so any other final notes on the film?
I think we flogged everything out of that one.
I think we need to note to everyone that we know that it's Midnight to 8 Man. We just like Midnight Day Man the way it sounds better.
It makes us laugh.
Yes, it does.
Stop saying the words from the table with the...
Alona Herman.
So...
Helga Ballhouse.
All right,
was not involved with this movie.
We do a mafia name?
Let's do our mafia names, one of which he got in under the wire.
Oh, yeah?
Like,
oh, yeah, I saw
hours before we recorded.
Yeah. All right, so these are the last mob names. We're opening the books for the last bunch of guys, the last patrons that went to patreon.com/GFM and supported the show. We thank everybody who did it. Our first patron that we're opening the books for is Michael Grasso.
He's Paisan.
Yeah. Nice Italian name.
The lawnmower.
Michael Grasso. Connor, what did you just say now?
Josh at the lawnmower.
No, no, before that, when I said Michael Grasso, you said something.
He's Paisan.
The Paisan.
Okay. I don't know. Is that like, friendo? I mean, it's not.
I don't know.
Paisan?
Paisan. I don't even know how to spell Paisan.
P-A-I-S-A-N. Not a guess.
That seems like it's on the nose.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it'd be like if this was a movie about Spanish gangsters and we just called him Amigo.
Yeah.
It's a little... The gardener?
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, so Paisan is actually Paisano, and it's P-A-E-S-A-N-O. And but we dropped the last syllable because that's the dialect, and so it's paisan.
You're a letter wasting culture.
What about pizza?
Just pizza.
Michael Pizzas.
Are you suggesting we eat? Is this has nothing to do?
So hungry.
So hungry. So hungry. Michael Grasso. Michael the Grip.
The Grip.
All moving
Grip.
All...
Grip.
Best boy.
Gaffer.
Gaffer. The Gaffer.
Mikey Boom.
Mikey Boom.
Mikey Boom.
Mikey Boom.
No more Mikeys.
I know. No more Mikeys.
Mikey
no.
Boom is legitimate, though. That's a legit name.
Grasso.
Mike Booms.
Plasso.
Two-fingered oh. Mike.
The asshole?
Oh, no. What? No!
It rhymes.
Kid Grasso.
Kid Grasso.
Kid Grasso.
Kid Grasso.
Kid.
Yep.
Kid Grasso.
You like it?
Yes, I've already written it down.
Okay, yep.
All right, so the mafia name generator for Michael Grasso is Steady Gun Roberto. Steady Gun Roberto.
Kid Grasso.
I think Kid Grasso is better, yeah.
Okay. All right, and this is it.
Our
no,
next,
we,
no,
two,
no,
we have two
three.
More, we're doing three.
We got, oh, three. We got two more, yeah, two more. Ryan Silverstein. Ryan Silverstein.
Okay.
I'm going to, you go, Josh.
I'm in character here, but.
What character is that?
He's the Jew.
Oh, it's the, oh, jeez.
No.
No. What a,
if he was in the crew.
Yes.
He would be that guy.
Yes, he would.
Because they'd have a guy in their crew. If you were the Irishman, you'd be the Irishman.
I would like to point that Josh's comment led me to have several other names in my head that I'm not saying out loud. I'm showing restraint.
I like the fact that, like, they call him that, and he's like, I'm not even Jewish. I like that idea, because I think that could happen.
Well, we have done Scotty the Wop.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, you're... I don't...
Is he Ryan? Ryan the Jew?
We've done the Swede.
He's the Jew. Shit. I'm sorry, Ryan.
I am too, but we're working within an aesthetic.
Yeah.
This is the idiom.
Spanish Tony Three Toes.
Limey Van Wyck.
All right.
I mean,
it does not fit. And even if he's not, it's even better if he's not Jewish.
Yeah.
It's fine. This is an LLC. We all bear the burden of the lawsuit.
This is the last episode.
Lawsuit?
The mafia.
He's paying us.
Look at him. The mafia name generator for Ryan Silverstein is Cold Ass Giuseppe Russo.
Cold Ass?
Old Ass. Old Ass.
Old Ass.
Cold is better. Cold.
All right, so our last patron that wrote, and I'm sorry, Ryan, our last patron that we the who got in under the wire, good job, Brian Horton. Brian
Horton.
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 The elephant? A little too literary?
They don't read Dr. Seuss.
They have kids.
Crooked Eye.
Crooked Eye.
Lazy Eye.
Lazy Eye.
Knuckles.
One Eye? One-Eye Horton? One-Eyed Horton?
Hatch?
Sounds like he's a pirate.
Arr. Nickels.
It's like you've been sitting on nickels for weeks. Just going to shoehorn a game. What was first name?
Brian.
Brian.
Brian. Brian Horton.
Brian the Brain?
Brian Pizzas.
Thinks?
We've done the Sphinx.
Brian. I like the Brain. Get to it.
Brian.
You just suggest pizza again?
Yes, Brian Pizza.
That's a terrible nickname. It's worse than the Jew.
Brian Prosciutto.
Tapper.
We did that.
Prosciutto Horton.
Tapper.
Tapper?
The Tapper?
T-A-P-P-E-R. Tapper.
Like Jake Tapper?
Yes.
Twinkle Toes? Twinkle Toes.
Shoes. Brian Shoes.
Spats?
Spats, Spats McKenzie.
Brian Spats. Just Spats.
Spats Horton. Spats Horton.
Spats Horton. Spats Horton.
Spats Horton.
That's nice.
All right, that's it. That's all.
What is
it?
Spats Horton. Spats Horton.
Is it S-P-A-T-S?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say meatball. All right. So the Mafia name generator, the last name generated by the Mafia name generator for Brian Horton, Sly Ralph Costa. I feel like we had that one too. What we learned is the mafia name generator, not so good.
Needs a new algorithm, badly.
Sometimes it's good, not always so good. All right, so thank you to everyone who supported the show. Thank you to everyone who went to goodfellowsminute.com/support and used the Amazon link or support us on Patreon. And if you're listening to this after, you know, if you're listening to this in
2027.
27.
After the seas have risen.
Yeah, after the seas have taken us, and you're listening to this in Kansas, because that's all that's left.
You can go to Goodfellas.
On beautiful beachfront Kansas City.
You can go to goodfellasminute.com/support, where you can still buy something from Amazon, and a drone will bring it to you, and we'll get a cut of it if we're not dead already.
In our watery graves.
Yeah, exactly. If you have any questions or anything about the show that you're curious about or anything like that, email us at contact@goodfellasminute. And we'll still be up on Twitter and on Facebook and on Instagram. Or Twitter, we're at goodfellasmin, and Instagram, Facebook at goodfellasminute. And finally, we read a lot of emails. We answered a lot of tweets. We commented on a lot of people on Facebook. We haven't addressed the one question that has come up the most since we started this.
The minute we started.
The first question we got is, well, what movie are you doing next? And so we are excited to announce to everyone who has listened to all 145 episodes, to all 35 minutes of this podcast, we're not doing anything. We're done. We never said we'd do another movie.
You got this guy doing a minute here. What do you want from me?
Right, exactly.
So what's next for us is we continue to do iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast as we've been doing every week since 2005.
Yep.
Ron and I have an idea for another show that we might do with someone that would be familiar to this show.
That's happening. That will. So stay tuned this summer to me and Connor's Twitter accounts. You can follow me at RonXO and Connor at CS Kilpatrick. And we'll also tweet it from the Goodfellas Minute one. But yeah, there is another show definitely coming that you may or may not like. I don't know. It has nothing to do with Goodfellas, though.
But for the three of us, you know, we have talked a lot. We've seen all of your...
Guys, I'm right here.
We've seen all of your tweets and your... There have been some interesting movies proposed, but we haven't decided if we're going to do another one. This was a lot of work.
This is a lot of work.
It's quite intensive.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is we've had long conversations about it, and we've definitely discussed it. And the only reason why we have done this godforsaken podcast, the only reason why I've done it is because I love this movie so much. And not only do I love this movie, I love talking about it specifically with you guys.
You have to have a subject matter that you love enough to do this.
Yep.
By this being a daily podcast that is a ton of work and super fun. I don't want anyone to think we're complaining, but you can't get bored of it halfway through.
Right.
It has to be something you can talk to through the credits, through the very last credits, you have to be able to talk to it about.
Right. And not only do you have to be able to not get bored with it, but you also have to have something to talk about. And like, so we've joked, I mean, like, and a lot of you have made, you know, suggestions. We've heard everything from, you know, a lot of you want us to do Casino. Like, honestly, I don't care for Casino as a movie at all. Like, I really don't like it. And so, and also it's like 3 fucking hours long.
Oh, but it's also, it's the same.
Yeah. It's a lot of the same stuff, but like, I don't have as much joy for that.
Frank Vincent.
Yeah. We joked about doing My Blue Heaven next because that was like the spiritual sequel to this movie. Yeah. In which, if you haven't seen My Blue Heaven, go rent it because it's fantastic. Comedies, like, I don't want to do a podcast where we go, oh, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, you can't do a comedy one.
Yeah, so it's tough. The minute format is tough. You got to have passion for it. You got to have the discipline to do it every day. And you got to have something to talk about.
There's got to be some information in it or related to it that isn't the movie.
Right.
So Star Wars, you have, you know, like our friends who do Star Wars Minute. There's all the background stuff. There's all the other stories. There's the expanded universe. There's the history.
Effect, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, that makes for it. For this, you have the real stories, you know, of everything. You need that blend of stuff. We've talked and thought about this a lot.
Being said, I did propose we do the 7.5-hour Godfather cut, which would take us through the time when the waters take us.
Yeah,
we actually did do that. That's
the real reason we're not doing it. Is we're genuinely afraid we won't be able to finish it before we're washed away.
Was it like 3 years or something stupid?
Yeah, we did the math on it. It was 3 years worth of podcasting, which I would kill myself. I'd kill myself after year one. Especially, oh yeah, don't even get me started. But yeah, but that said, we're not closing the door. The path to us doing Goodfellas was long and agonizing, where when we finally like, we can't not do this. And if that happens again, then maybe we do. But regardless, I think we deserve a break.
And we like hanging out and talking to each other. So
All right. I'm going to say a thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a behind the scenes bit here.
Oh, no.
That people should know. When we started this, I don't have a lot of free time. And I said to the guys, I really want to do this with you, but I literally don't have time to do it. And so Ron and Connor took on everything to do with this show. Basically, other than me being on it. So you know, there's applause to both of you, and you have my thanks, obviously, and everyone else should be thanking you too for it. You know, I did my research, I did the minutes, I came on, I did the show, but all the real heavy lifting, the grunt work and stuff like that, that's all those guys.
Plus, your agent is an asshole.
Yes, we just didn't really want to deal with the deal points.
I want points on the fucking back end. It's not that hard.
But yeah, from building the website to editing the shows to publishing the shows, you know, it's we've been doing a weekly podcast for 10 years and we know how to do that really well. This was a fun challenge to get to figure out the system. And honestly, Connor, you know, I share Josh's like hats off. Like we made it work and we should be proud of that. And that said, immense respect for our good friend Pete the Retailer over at Star Wars Minute, because I know he does a lot of the legwork there. So. Alex does his work too, though. But yeah, so this is hard work, and I respect anybody who does it. The other people who do another Minute podcast, hats off to you as well, too.
All this talking means we haven't closed the door on it. We just don't have an idea yet. All the ones that have been mentioned, we've probably not going to do for various reasons, so we'll see. If something happens, you'll hear about it.
Yeah. We'll get the word out.
Yeah.
But again, I know we said it before. We'll say it again. The people who help support the show, we can't thank you enough. The patrons over at Patreon, you guys were the ones who stood up and directly gave us your money, and we really appreciate that. We're going to be putting the Patreon on hold so you won't be charged anymore because we're not be creating any more content. But we ask that you remember that you were a patron, and we thank you for that and hope you got the value for your money. We just want to give you that value for value. So thank you.
All right. So that's it for Goodfellas Minute. That's a wrap.
Jeez, this is the first time we're officially ending a podcast, not fading away, just not doing it anymore.
Guys, everybody out there, keep your mouth shut.
You learned the two most important lessons in life. You gave them nothing.
They got nothing.
You kept your mouth. I don't even remember the line.
That's how mushed your brain is right now.
I'm so hungry.
Mush brain.
Your brain's turned into mush.
Mush.
I can't have it.
Mush brain.
Can't have it. So for the last time, this has been Goodfellas Minute. Thank you again. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Get out of here.
I can't have it.
Can't have it.
Can't have it.
Can't do it.
Can't have it.
Won't do it.
On a house.
I love that car.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is on.